Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirm Podcast Network.
It's the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big and Lazy, and we black with another episode, and we got another special guest. We keep a special guest for our audience. Introduce yourself.
Hey, y'all. I'm Kelly Bundy, the people's favorite hustler, the best mom in town. So, what's up?
There you go. Hustler of the Year. Was you ever nominated for the award? Don't they got a Hustler of the Year award for the KE?
Yeah, they do. No, I was never nominated for that. I wasn't.
Okay. We got to get you on the ballot next year.
No, I don't really want to be on the ballot.
You don't?
No, it's too much to go on. But, I mean, I feel like... When you validate yourself, you don't need all of it. I mean, I would love to have that. I'm not going to say, oh, it's just out of it. But the drama that comes with that, I kind of, like, don't want to deal with it. But I have been nominated for a couple of awards, and I won them. And I'm grateful for those. But now I just, like, when they be like, oh, tell people to add this name and all that, I be telling people, no, please don't add me all the time.
Okay. What awards have you won?
Podcast of the Year.
Oh, really? That's what's up. That's like one of our goals, Podcast of the Year.
Yep. I've won Most Views of the Year. Mom of the Year.
Ah, okay.
I won a nice amount of awards.
Most views, what was that about? Like what?
Like for whatever podcast or whatever you were doing when you were going live and stuff like that during like the pandemic.
Yeah.
They were saying like who got the most lives. I mean the most views. Who had the most people on their stuff? And we did. Me and Jamarcus did. We won.
Ah, okay. Shout out to Jamarcus. So what made you like talk about that? What made you start doing the podcast and like do you still do it? Like what made you get into it and what made you?
Well, first it started off as poker games. Like Jamarcus used to have poker games over my house. Mm-hmm. And then he would see like, he'll be like, oh, you gonna call up your people? Da-da-da. I would call up a few people and then everybody would be interested. Like my phone would be going off all day long. And he's like, you can make money off this. We could talk about everything you be talking about. Plus it's a lot of like street dudes per se that come to me for advice, that ask me questions, that trust me. And so I would be giving them advice, like good advice, like sending them lawyers, sending them what they should do in this situation when it comes to their baby mama's, just all type of advice to like help you grow in life. He was like, man, so many people listen to you, you can make money off it. And that's what we started to do.
Ah, okay, that's what's up. So what made you stop doing it? I don't think you do it.
Oh, because they sold the station that we were on because we were actually on 97.5.
I mean
97 to beat. Uh-huh. And so they sold the station to somebody else, in which he ended up saying he's not gonna do it anymore. He's just gonna start traveling with Irv Gotti now.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh well, I'm not gonna do it either. But then the new owner of the business or whatever of the station came to me and was like, well, would you wanna do it by yourself? And that's how Kelly Wanna Know came about.
Ah, okay.
But that stopped because, like I said, the pandemic ended up hitting right then and there. And so it was like we did the pandemic a little bit, and everybody, that's when we was getting the most money. Like, people was getting them PPP loans. People was getting unemployment. So people was literally just cash apping us $100 just because.
Right.
And so by the end of the night, I got $2,000 just off me being online. People really? Just, like, they just cash apping. They got my Cash App shut down. Actually, that's why I don't do Cash App no
damn,
more.
Damn, it was like that?
It was so much money.
Take your money or did they?
And so now that I'm working at the bank, they didn't take my money. They allowed me to have my money. But what I'm knowing now that I work at the bank is that's what put the IRS into my lap. Like, they made the IRS like, oh, you won't be getting taxes this year or that year. Or you got to pay this amount of money back.
Yeah.
It matters. I tell people all the time, when you trying to do it, Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, you keep your shit in order. Because if you don't, They got something for you.
Ah, damn.
Yep.
I hope I do. And then again, I hope I don't get that big where I got to, you know, the IRS got to come from.
But, I mean, it's all good, though, because if you about your business and you know you a hustle for real, you'll be able to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
It came, paying it back came like water to me. It was nothing.
Ah, okay. That's what's up. But you said pandemic. I say this all the time. In about 10 or 15 years, when whoever makes a documentary about COVID, just come and holler at me. It was good times.
It was great times.
Man, that was great times.
That was a lot of money.
A lot of money, a lot of freedom. You know, niggas didn't have to work.
Hey.
It don't get no better than that.
I still worked throughout the pandemic, though, from the radio station to the strip club to the... to E-Lounge, to another bar.
I shout out to E-Lounge,
I worked the whole pandemic. I didn't, like, my job, none of my jobs took off. This is like money when it's really flowing.
Was you a dancer? You was at the strip club?
No, I was a bartender.
Ah, okay, that's what's up. Exclusive?
Yep.
That was a good club, man.
Yep, we made a lot of money. Shout out to y'all. They at Joe's, they own Joe's now.
Palm Room?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, that's what's up.
Yep.
I mean, they was trying to get the, I spot out Taylor, but I didn't think they went through. They were trying to get
it didn't work out. You know, you got to worry about them zoning laws, too, when it comes to strip clubs. And if the neighbors say no, then it's no.
Okay. So what other business you got? Like, what other you got your hands
I got a cleaning business right now.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, I got this cleaning business, and I also teach people how to bartend as well, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's a good hustle. That's a damn good hustle. I just got on.
Most of the bars you go to, I done trained them.
Really?
Real talk.
Okay. You the godmother of the bartending, huh?
They say that. But it's another person that they call like the godmother too.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Tiff Bird. So like, I don't want to take nothing away from her either because she do it as well. And a lot of people like, they always bring up either my name or her name. I hear it all the time, so.
Yeah, she was on here. That was a form of college.
Oh, for real?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Brought a wine. Not wine, it's a liquor.
Yeah, she got a spirit.
Yeah, spirit, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
dope.
The reason I reached out to you, you went viral on TikTok here recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to give you a space where you can tell your story. You didn't have to break it down and record it, you know, hold, you know, press record. You know what I mean? Just to give you a story. So what made you want to tell that story? What made you want to, you know, set the record straight up per se?
I think I wanted... Most of all, I wanted to clear the air, and I wanted to clear up the rumors that were surrounding, like, my husband's death, especially with a lot of people saying, like, that a lot of people running with the rumor that, of the reason why I was taken to court, that, one, we weren't legally married, in which that was a lie, and then, two, that my baby daddy killed my husband. My baby daddy been gone for 13 years now, so it's really impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I was just going to get on there and talk. I ain't even going to lie to you. I thought that, like... I really think, for a moment, I thought that, like, people didn't pay a lot of attention to me, except when it came to me being a mother, because that's, like, all day long I get messages, I'm talking about a lot of messages all day long about motherhood and how good I am with my kids, so I'm thinking, like, this is just going to be another situation, like, I done posted a little bit on Instagram where people just view my story and keep going, but TikTok, it went crazy.
It did, because I first seen it was somebody from, like, from out of town that, like, have you seen her story, like, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, so that's what caught my attention, so... Like, start us off, like, what, you know, start us off from, like, part one, you know.
Okay, so part one, I talked about how it was impossible for my baby daddy to even kill my husband because he'd been gone for 13 years. I talked about how we came about getting to where we're at now with people approaching me. Like, two ladies came up to my job and was like, that was the last straw for me. Like, a week before I did it. Two ladies came up to my job and was like they just walked up to my window. If you know where the self-scan is, you know, all the black people going through the self-scan,
mm-hmm.
doing whatever they doing. And so these two ladies, they come over and they start talking to me and like, why would your baby daddy do it? I know you grieving, but, you know, leave the mama alone. And I'm like, what?
Right.
Leave the mom alone. My baby daddy, I'm like, hold on. So my coworker comes over and was like, hey, she's at work. At the end of the day, I don't, you know, that's her personal life. It's his business right now. Can y'all step away or whatever? And so, like, I get that all day long. People come up giving me words of encouragement, people realizing who I am, recognizing me, pointing me out. And then, so I was like, maybe I need to start talking about it more. Maybe people feel like, oh, I really did have something to do with it because I stopped talking about it. But I stopped talking about it because I used to make a big check out for Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and my views and my videos and us going viral and stuff. And then that kind of stopped when I started to get reported. Every video that I would post to my husband, his family would report it.
Right.
Every picture I would post to him, they would like leave all these spam comments. I'm like, y'all ugly together and like little stuff like that. So, and then I would like comment back. I'm like running my mouth back to them and stuff. So Instagram would be like, oh, that's inappropriate. You were reported for harassment and bullying. And I'm like, they on my page saying that. So
right.
That's when I stopped being able to monetize. But I mean, I'm back monetizing now.
So somebody's doing our Facebook like that. They reporting all our videos.
Yeah, you guess. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a lot of that. They did a suckout with no filter, too. Like, when they would get into with Jamarcus, they would be calling them snitches, doing all of this stuff, and start reporting us. Like, oh, no, they getting too much money. They would start hating.
Yeah.
But anybody that really got some remotion, they know how it is when you start getting them spam comments. I mean, they was talking about my dead family members that's on my page, like, posting all type of crazy stuff under there. One person, I don't remember who they were, like, to... Not this situation, but another situation. But they posted my old address thinking I still live there. Like, we know where you live at and posted my address.
Oh, wow. They were really going down the rabbit hole.
But I would never be able to really pinpoint who it is. But I'm like, depending on what the subject is, I know it's coming from these certain amount of people. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody really going to be talking about, like, the stuff they was talking about. Like, yeah, you beat your husband up. And that's the reason why you was glad he's dead and all of his crazy stuff.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Flir. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And I'm not going to lie to you, if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check in. The link's going to be in the description. In the comments, go check that out. Flir, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map. So was you in the that side of the family, was y'all cool before your husband passed, or was it always a friction?
Me and his mother's side, his mother got us hooked up. Mm-hmm. She was the one who was like, you need to be with my son. Da, da, da. When I got with her son, I had my own house. I had 2 cars and 3 jobs, 2 full-times and a part-time. Mm-hmm. My kids always been fly. They always had the best of the best. I've always been an active mother. So, like, and that was when their dad first passed away, first got killed. Mm-hmm. So, like, we were cool, like, when it first started out. But I feel like the toxic family generational curse that haunts a lot of black families has haunted their family. Like, oh, they see him doing better. They see, like, before he got with me, he had never had a job. I'm telling him, like, you got to get a job. You got to work when you with me. Because I can't file for Social Security for neither one of three. My 3 kids got the same father. Mm-hmm. I can't file Social Security for them because he never worked. He was in the streets. Right. So I already told myself, I'm not dating another street dude. I can't do it again. Because if I was to have another kid, and then this kid can't draw Social Security, I can't get no benefits because you were in the streets. Right. Although my kids don't need for nothing, it would still be nice to get a little bit of help.
I need it all.
I need it all, every dollar. Mm-hmm. But now I can't get nothing because he was a street dude.
Yep. My brother, he passed away, and his kids, they get a check until they 18. You know, but split between the four of them. So, yeah.
Oh, and a good thing with that, if they stay in school until they're like 24, they'll still get the check and they'll get the school. They'll get, like, it's a little program.
Oh, okay.
It's a little like the lady at the Social Security office was telling me about it, and I'm thinking I'm ready to get this check. I'm like, oh, I'm ready to get this check, so I'm going to be straight. It's going to be the little assistance that I probably could have got from my baby daddy. But it didn't work like that. But my husband's daddy side, like this. Mm-hmm. Every day we together. Every day we driving each other. Like, we ain't even really got to ask. Like, they'll come on my house like, hey, I'm ready to get your car. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I ain't tripping.
This is like, have you noticed, maybe it's just me, that most families, whether they toxic or fighting mm-hmm. each other, are they together and they got each other's back, it all is a reflection of the grandmother. Is that just me? Is that a... You know, I noticed that. Like, it starts with the granny. You know, granny.
It is. All the granddaddy.
Yeah, the granddaddy. Yeah, it starts, man. Like, that family tree. And
it trickles down.
It does. It really does.
It trickles down bad. But, I mean, like, in my husband's mama's side of the family. My husband's daddy's side of the family. I never really seen them backdooring each other, talking about each other bad and being in each other's face. I never really seen that. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I say I'm surprised that this happened from them, I am. My husband's mama's side of the family, oh, that's all they do.
Really?
They turn each other in. They take each other to court. They fight each other. They get on live and talk about each other. I mean, it's a bunch of rah-rah. Right. I've never seen nothing like it. Like, none of my cousins ever been on live talking about me.
Right. Throwing dirty seeds.
It's not going to happen. Now, my cousins, anybody that know my family anyway, their mouth's bad. They gonna straight up text me, or if they in my face, they gonna say what they got to say, and don't care if I swing on them or what. They don't care about none of that, cause they gonna go too. Mm-hmm. It's nah. My husband's family backdoor each other, talk about each other, dog each other's family. The mama side.
Damn.
The daddy side, though, they just laid back. It was a bunch of go-getters. Like, everybody's about getting some money.
Right.
Especially my husband's daddy. Like, that man was about getting some money. I can't even believe he crashed out the way he did.
Mm-hmm. So, like, just walk us through that. Like, you say you were surprised by the situation, so...
They used to argue. It was okay, my husband had, like, I was surprised because, one, they were cool and close and stuff like that, and then, two... They argued every single day. Mm-hmm. Every day. It could be something so small, that big argument. And my husband be right over laying on his daddy's couch. His daddy'll come right over my house, put the TV up on the wall, pick the kids up from school, drop the kids off to practice. It was always that. But they was always arguing about something. It was always something. I used to just be like, y'all sound lame. You know, it's as lame as fuck, da da da. But then I got to a point where I'm about to just start saying stuff because this is what y'all do. But the little brother had stole my husband's car. People are saying like it ain't really stealing, but my husband didn't get him permission to pick his car up. But he went to a car shop or whatever, picked up his car. He got his car. He picked up his car from a car lot. My husband had got locked up earlier that day because the car lot had gave him a loaner car. The loaner car had been in a robbery with the previous person that had it. So my husband's in jail fighting this. He calls me from home like, hey, tell Scott don't even worry about painting my car. Don't worry about working on my car. Nothing. Just pick up my car. I'm like... Scott's the car shop owner.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
So I'm like, okay, I'll tell him. I was like, it ain't gonna be tonight though. It's kind of late. I'll tell him in the morning. But he was like, all right, call this person, which is his little brother, who I was like arguing back and forth with on social media. I'm like, all right, I calls him. He's cracking up laughing. Like, I'm like, why is he laughing? Like, we ain't even on that type of time for him. I don't even mess with the mama's family. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, why is he laughing? But anyways, he goes on to do all this. He ha ha. He's talking to my husband. My husband gets frustrated. We end up getting off the phone with them. But he did tell my husband, like, no, your other little brother, which is the little brother who actually did the killing. Mm-hmm. He's like, he got the car. So I calls him. He's getting like real jazzy. And I'm like, hold on, who you talking to? Because I know you ain't talking to me. He's like, no, not you, sis. I'm talking to him. That's why when people was like, oh, you was in the middle. No, he didn't talk to me. He was still, I knew this little boy. I got my husband when this little boy was 9 years old. I used to babysit this little boy. He was still saying yes ma'am and no ma'am to me the day he got locked up.
Right.
Like, he wasn't disrespectful to me. We weren't beefing or any of it. What made me mad was then when my husband's mama stepped in and told him, you ain't gonna give him back that truck. He just won't give everything to his wife. You can keep the truck. That's your brother's truck. If he was already going to give me the truck back, why'd you step in and tell him something different? He's not even your son.
Right.
He's the daddy's son, and you don't even deal with the daddy side of the family.
Right.
So she stepped in and did it. Next day, the little brother was acting like he was going to give it back to me. But then the little brother starts talking about give him some money and all of that type of stuff. So I'm like, give you some money. What? Who you talking to? He was like, no. He kept making it like, I ain't talking smart to you. And everybody was like, oh, he's saying that because he's scared of your brothers and all this. And it's like... This little boy was very respectful, but he could have went far. Like, he was a really smart young man.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like no person to, and he didn't fear like a lot of stuff for people to be saying like he was scared of your brothers. He knew your brothers was gonna get on, but if he would have been talking crazy to you, my brother would have cracked up laughing. I would have came to him like, Corviante, guess more of me. He was like, my brother probably would have said, what you do to Corviante?
Right.
Because he ain't even like it. If he's getting on there with somebody, you probably didn't did something to him. But really, what we not knowing at the time is that he got this lady, my husband's mama, in his ear the whole time telling him, you ain't gonna give that car back. You can keep the car.
Right. It putting fuel to the fire. It's instigating from...
Because he was going to give me the car. Right. They keep saying he wasn't going to give you the... Yes, he was.
So what's he going to hold it for rent? Like, how long he's going to keep the car? Like, what... Was your husband down for my husband
was down, ended up being down like a month and a half. But mm-hmm. I had paid his bonds. He had two bonds. I paid his bonds. But then my husband's mama went and called his probation officer and put herself in the mix once again on a whole nother situation. It was like, oh, he got locked up. He was like, oh, he got locked up.
The ice and the booze. The ice and the booze. Not that ice. In that white cup next to the... And the booze. Tequila. And then go ahead.
He was like, oh, my husband was locked up or whatever on that, like I said about that. But we end up getting proven to the judge. I end up talking to the judge because I told the lawyer outside the door anyway, like, I done paid you all this money. But even still then, If you don't go in there and say what I tell you to say, and you working for me right now, right. I'm going to go up there and talk to the judge myself. He was like, oh, you ain't going to talk to the judge. He was taking me as a joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get in there, and he's like, okay, well, we'll just lay the court date over. I said, no, ma'am. No, we're not. I stood right up in front of the judge, talked to the judge, asked the judge, can I get my husband a hug? Can we talk about, you know, what's going on? Presented the evidence myself. Like, mm-hmm. Do I need to be the lawyer right now?
So this is the case he caught from the, somebody had used the truck?
Yes.
Okay.
No, somebody had used the loaner car, not his truck. His truck was the one that the brother stole.
Uh-huh.
And so, like I said, I talked to the judge. I was like, you know what? I'm going to release him today. I ain't even know all this. Ain't nobody told me nothing. Mm-hmm. So me and the lawyer, we walk outside, and I'm telling him, like, why wouldn't you, you know, present the evidence? Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Do you think you're ready to get some more money? You're not ready to get no more money. You know, me and him was going through the little motions and whatever. But we was happy. He's about to get released. But then the probation officer, my husband called a probation officer as he's getting released. She's like, nah, we're going to go ahead and get you picked up because your mama said she ain't talked to you. She ain't seen you. You ain't really been staying at her house because he was using her address for that's where his probation was at.
Mm-hmm.
So he was supposed to been staying at her house and all this, but of course he wasn't really staying there. You know, most times they don't.
Right.
She done went and told him, like, I ain't seen him. I ain't talked to him. He done got locked up.
And this is her son?
This is her son.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why is she doing this, putting her son in the jank?
We're all trying to figure that out.
Okay.
So I calls the auntie for my husband on three-way, and mm-hmm. the auntie gets the mom on the phone because I was blocked on the mama's phone. I've been blocked on the mama's phone. She had put me out her. She had put me at her daddy's funeral. And so I had been blocked because, like, I acted a fool at the daddy's funeral when she, like, stood up. She told my husband, I'm going to go to that story later, but okay. I got put at the daddy's funeral, her daddy's funeral, which is my husband's granddaddy's funeral. So I had been blocked anyway, but, I mean, I was really blocked before then because, like, I done sent this family through the motions. Like, I ain't been innocent in the situation. I done sent them through the motions. Anything you do to me, I got something twice, times two for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the energy that I've kept all these years. But, like I said, this past year, well, the past year before my husband got killed, I was just done. I stopped arguing with him, stopped replying to him, stopped entertaining him altogether. Like, I ain't got nothing to say. Yeah. Because every time I see y'all, put y'all head down. Y'all don't want to fight. Y'all don't want to get into the mix. I didn't already had to call the police on myself after one incident that didn't occur. So I'm like, I'm not even about to do this with them. All in all, my husband ended up thinking he's about to get released. Two federal agents was waiting downstairs for him at the county. Because probation officer said that's what they was gonna do, so they picked him up, they take him to the holdover in Oldham County.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, you might not be able to get out. I feel like I did my part. I'm like, I gotta still focus. I gotta be a mom, so I can't really worry about this right now. So I called one of my little brothers. I tell him, like, if he do get released, this is what's going on. Da-da-da. I'm gonna need you to go pick him up. I do whatever. Go take the lawyer the money if we need another lawyer. Da-da-da. Well, I called this same lawyer. The lawyer was like, okay, I get on the. They had a Zoom, so they did a Zoom. And the federal judge is like, so why is he in cross? Why did y'all send him to the holdover? And the probation officer, she's going hard, telling him all this stuff that the mama didn't tell her. And the judge was like, did you find him guilty of these things? She was like, no. Okay, the judge said, well, I'm releasing him today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're releasing him. He had been in there for about 6-7 days, so like a week. But they ended up releasing him once this court day came about. He gets out. Now, my husband, every day he's on his phone. He's doing this all day long.
Yeah.
I don't go through his phone, so I don't know what's in his phone. I don't know who he's texting. I ain't really caring because I'm like, I got my own thing to do. Got my own business to worry about. Plus, I got to go to work. Plus, I got to get the kids. Plus, I got to go to sports after work. So I ain't really worried about it. He's doing this all day long.
Mm-hmm.
The kids would say, like, daddy, check on my daddy, because they used to call him daddy. Check on my daddy. Something's going on with him. Da-da-da. He was yelling when you wasn't here. Da-da. But every day he's crying real tears about this truck. Like, this is his baby.
He ain't got the truck back. Huh, okay.
The little brother's nowhere to be found, but the little brother had took me on a high-speed chase, me and my sister and everything. Like, we had went through the motions after the mama told him not to give me the truck back. I had talked to Granny. Like, it was so much going on that it was just, like, overwhelming. And I told him, like, now that you out, you could deal with that. I ain't going to worry about it. So I ain't texting and talking to nobody. I just blocked the daddy. Ben blocked the mama. Blocked the little brother. Blocked the girlfriend. Blocked the little girlfriend's mama, because the girlfriend's mama was messing with the daddy at the time. It was just a big mess.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a big mess. So mm-hmm. I just
right
completely stopped talking to all of them all together. I ain't bringing them. I don't even care about the situation, but every day I'm hearing him. Like, he's texting so fast, like, you, and he had the little thing. He got one of them little trap phones, so you can hear her button, but I'm like, telling him, like, this is annoying. He's jumping in a car with different people, going riding around looking for the truck, can't find the truck, going over to the brother's mama's house looking for the truck. He don't see the truck. So it was just a big mess. The day he got killed, we went over to, we had an interview. He took the kids to school, he had my charger. So he took the kids to school, came back from school. We played around for a little bit, got in the shower. Then we went to our interview. The mama's little brother was at the interview. So we had our interview. When we get to that interview, the mama's little brother brings up, hey, when you going to get your truck back? Why he say that for? He has sent my husband back into a frenzy.
Right.
My husband calls his daddy. The uncle's like, oh, no, he's ready to go through them. My uncle already know how my husband is. He's like, all right, I'm ready to get back and work, because uncle had already worked at where we was interviewing at. So he gets on the phone with his daddy. He asks his daddy, like, you gonna give me my keys back today? He's like, come get these MF and keys. Come get them. You can come get them. So my husband was about to start. He went on like, so he just
so
hangs
the daddy
up on
got the
him.
Truck now?
Nah, the daddy's got the supposed to have the keys. Okay. It's what little words between all the brothers and all the cousins and all everybody's involved now. Everybody's meddling in the mix. So they said, the daddy's something like, come get the keys. We rise over. You will see us like on the video. The videos will be released once they either take a deal or we go to trial.
Okay.
But we've seen them. Anybody that come to court, we've seen them. So
these are home footage videos, right? These are home
cameras from like the neighbors.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So you will see us coming around, like it's like an alley, but it's like a alley like that. So we coming around this way. My husband turns around, and now we face this way because we pulled in this way, but he didn't start the car around to where we face this way. He told me his little brother was going to come meet him and to go ahead and leave him there. I just stood right there because I'm like, I don't think his little brother's going to come. But I just sat in the seat, but I got the seat leaned back. I'm like, they about to start Oregon and stuff. So I'm just leaning back. I'm texting my sisters, how the interview went. I'm texting like different people off Instagram. Next thing I know, I heard banging noises. This is my husband. He was like knocking hard. And then he started banging, and then he started kicking the door. Nobody's coming to the door. I'm like, so I sees him, what I thought, because this is what I told them, like, I thought he was ripping out the family. I thought he ripped off the doorbell. But now that we're in court, I found out he ripped off the Ring camera. So he ringed it off. I mean, he ripped it off and threw it. I'm thinking it was the doorbell up until we get in court. So that was the only mistake that I did make during the whole thing. Anyway, I beat some more.
Let me call you right here. So what's the big deal about? Why don't they just give him his truck back? Like, it's not registering me. Like, what's the big deal about this truck that he...
Now the little brother is saying from like different messages and different family members and stuff. Now, like, cause they had been talking to my husband on the phone. My husband would have been like texting somebody. Now I'm finding out it's the little brother, it's the mama. I got messages that he was texting the mama, his mama, his daddy, and his brother. Like, he's arguing with them hard. But I was like leaving that alone. Now I know cause I got the phone.
Right.
But as far as the truck, the little brother was more so like now turning into a blackmail. Like,
okay.
I'm gonna tell your wife you cheated. Okay, I know he cheated. So next subject. Oh, well, I'm about to go tell that person. I'm gonna go tell this person that you did this to him and all type of shit that my husband did around this little boy. He's ready to tell everybody. Then he's like blackmailing my husband, like telling him like, you better give me $1,500 or this is gonna happen.
Really?
He starts saying that my husband owe him because in 1995, he bought him a pop. Was some crazy ass shit. And I'm like when a detective came to me and was asking me questions, I'm like, what? I don't recall that. Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, she don't recall it because she don't want to recall it. You asked me about something that happened 7 years ago, something as small as buying a seafood meal. I don't remember.
Right. Well, what are we arguing about this
for? What are we talking about? Uh-huh. Like, and still, even whatever, I don't care if I could say that now. One of my siblings owe me bands right now. I'm not even thinking to take them out. For what? What are we doing here? Like, it's a lot of people in their family, like, justifying it.
Okay, so.
Like, so I'll kill a nigga for less.
Right.
That's what one person told me.
So your husband owed them some money?
That's what they said. I said, I can't confirm it because my husband was with them every day, so.
Yeah.
Everybody supposed to be getting money. Like, why are we talking about a little $1,500 still ain't worth the life to me?
Ain't no amount of money worth no life.
You ain't talking about something that could change your life. You talking about $1,500, something that I could have gave you, really.
That's a paycheck and a half, man. You know what I mean? What we talking about? So he rips the doorbell camera. Let me go back. Let's go back to there. He rips the doorbell camera off and,
mm-hmm, and throws it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, no, it was the Ring camera, not the doorbell. Okay, yeah. I don't want to get it because I keep getting that confused. Okay. But I want to make sure that's right. He rips the Ring bell off, and when I see him, like, after he's doing that, I'm like, he's going through the motions. I lays my hand, beeps the horn. Come on, come back. So as soon as he turns around back to me, start walking towards me, the daddy literally opens up the door with an AK-47 and just.
Damn.
Started shooting him all in his back and his head. Now I know it. But at the time, I'm just thinking he got shot in his legs because his legs is what gave at first.
Yeah.
And at first, I was like, it was loud as hell. He ended up shooting out my window, too. But the little brother, then he came out, held the door open with his right hand. And.
Wow.
But I'm going to tell you what was crazy about that whole thing. The whole family's worried about why I didn't do CPR. Uh-huh. If he's still breathing, why am I doing CPR and not doing tourniquets? I was doing tourniquets.
Right.
That's what I was taught to do anyways when somebody, I done been in plenty of situations and plenty of people done got saved, but you can't save everybody.
Right.
And who in their right mind is even expecting a daddy and a brother to kill the other brother?
Right. Your mind's all over the place. Like, people say what they would do. And it's easy to say that until it's you. Yeah, until you're in that situation.
Until it's you.
You know, but like you said, if you're still breathing, the main thing is to stop the, you know.
Bleeding. Yeah, stop the bleeding. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he was shot, you know, how many times, you say?
Well, he was shot like 6 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Damn. Sorry to hear that. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, I lost my... The closest thing I lost, but he didn't get killed. But I guess you could say he got killed. My brother, he was in a real toxic relationship. And he was 3 times, he was a drunk too. You know, he was an alcoholic. And they always fought. They fought like cats mm-hmm. and dogs. But not to get too sidetracked, but she put him out. Like, they fought, and she put him out on the highway. He ended up getting hit by a car. So I know how tough it is losing somebody.
What was his name?
Joe Sullivan. Baby Joe.
I remember him.
Yep, that was my brother.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it.
August 13th, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and 3 days later, and he was born. So, you know, I kind of feel you with the baby mamas and women. Mm-hmm. And, man, that shit can be a big headache. So, like, okay, you're trying to stop the tourniquet. Like, where's your mind at now? Like, where is, you know, what?
I'm thinking, like, death wasn't on my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, like, he's about to make it because he was still talking to me. Yeah. But when I seen him story, like, his eyes started rolling, I'm like, this ain't right. But, like I said, the police had already been called. Eugenie was out there. The water company was out there.
Yeah.
It was a girl out there. She had read her. She was, her baby daddy lived next door to the daddy. But she was outside in the car getting, like, some wipes and diapers or something like it. I can't remember what she said. I looked at her car the other day, actually, when I needed to look for the birth certificate. But I got, like, all my cars from that time together, so... I mean, not the birth certificate, the death certificate. But, like, she was out there. Some old lady came out and was telling me, like, stop screaming, calm down, da-da-da-da. He don't need that right now. But I'm like, do you know, realize what the fuck I just seen?
Right.
Can't nobody calm me down. The police did come fast, but just not fast enough for somebody to die.
Right, right. So, somebody asked me that you was looking for somebody to help you on the scene. Like, did you ever get in contact with her? Did you ever?
No, I still haven't got in contact with her. Actually, somebody that I'm cool with, they live over there by her and said that she barely even be home. Like, it's hard to kind of catch her.
Okay.
But she do still live over
there. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so.
I don't remember her name, but I'll never forget her face.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I'm like that too. I'm real good, bad with names. I'm terrible mm-hmm. with names, but I remember your face. You can introduce me. It'd take me about 4 or 5 times for a while, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
That face, you know. So let's kind of, so he passed. So, like, how was the leading up to the funeral? How, like, it was so much hostility and drama and, you know, all the stuff, the turmoil that went with. Like, how was the funeral and, like, how?
Well, that day that it happened, the police kept me for 4 hours because they wanted to talk to me. But I couldn't talk. I couldn't think. All I could say is, find my kids, find my kids. The detective was asking me, like, where do my kids go to school? I was like, I don't know. I couldn't think straight at all. So, like, he ended up getting in touch with my sister. And my sister ended up going to heaven to go get my kids. But the police still wouldn't let me go because they wanted to keep me on the scene since I was the wife. And they also wanted me to speak to the coroner and speak to another officer. So they had officers standing outside the car and then one over there as well because it was people on the... on the scene saying, like, the daddy's looking for her, the daddy's looking for her. The whole time, this man ain't even looking for me. He could have, like, did something that day. But when I stood up at the car and was, like, seeing what I was saying, like, I was telling him, like, you gonna kill him? This is your son. Mm-hmm. Like, are you for real? And so he ended up not. I mean, they just backed up in the door and just, I guess that's when they ran out the back door because the SWAT team, we had to wait on SWAT team to get there. Like, mm-hmm. it was crazy because, you know, this is AK-47, yeah. something you ain't even supposed to have anyway. Uh-huh. And you a convicted felon, so you know you really ain't supposed to have it. And they thinking, like, okay, he's armed and dangerous. He just killed his own junior.
Yeah.
But, like, the family that day, they tried to play, like, I don't know if it was because my family was, it probably is because my family, like, everybody in my family known for, like, they known for fighting. Mm-hmm. But, like, the men in my family can be, like, fucked up.
Right.
Like, and get on it. So, like, I don't know if they thought, like, oh, her brothers are somewhere close by. Her sisters is about to get on. But they all wanted hugs. They all wanted to send their condolences. They all wanted to do this, that, and the other. It was all a whole bunch of cool, calm, and collective.
This is your husband's family?
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I left, people started posting all these Facebook, like, now I know she has something to do with it. Hmm. How y'all go from saying that he'll give me everything, he give me everything, to me saying that I would want to kill him?
Why would you kill your husband?
What am I getting out of
it? Yeah.
If he's giving me everything, what am I getting out of doing anything bad to him?
Right. That's wild.
It didn't never make no sense. And right. the detective told them multiple times, the prosecutor told them multiple times, we've seen all the footage. This girl had absolutely nothing to do with it. We've seen the daddy's phone, the brother's phone, the brother's mama's phone. Like, we didn't interview everybody, and everybody said the same thing. Yes, the wife's mouth is bad, in which my mouth can't get bad. Like, her mouth is bad, but... No, that ain't what y'all... They done already told them to stop doing it, but they won't stop.
Hmm.
Instead of taking accountability, saying we was wrong for saying this about this girl, they don't want to say, like, I'm sorry. Right. I was dead wrong for that. They won't take it a little further.
Take it further like how?
Like, argue on social media.
They doubling down on the dumb.
But, like, well, yeah, when they see me, like, I'm in court. Like, I haven't missed a court. I missed one court day, but I did it on Zoom, and that's because my uncle had passed away. He had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then we had to focus on burying him since my granny's gone. And then my mama was, like, his mama they whole life anyway. So I had to focus on that. But I was still on a Zoom. I ain't miss that. Like, and they ain't talk about nothing. They just brought them in, and that's the one that's in the back of one of my videos. That was the Zoom that I was on. Other than that, I've been in every court date. I ain't missed a court date.
So the trial's actually started?
It ain't no trial yet, because they talking about giving them deals.
Ah, okay. So how long was they captured? Like, how long was they before they was taken into
the
custody?
The daddy was captured after 5 or 6 days, and then the brother was captured after a month.
God damn.
The brother was outside.
Yeah.
The brother said, hey, I'm going to ride past this person's house, that person's house. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. The brother was outside.
Like, he wasn't hiding? Like,
he wasn't hiding.
Huh.
Mm-mm. Everybody was, like, texting me, like, are you sure Corriente did it? I'm like, yeah. One person, hey, I'm telling you right now, he's right in front of my face. He's at the store buying him some blacks.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Speedway over by his mama's house.
Damn.
He's outside. They say he was driving through the parking lot having a ball. He was down at the football game. I mean, he was outside.
Damn. That's crazy. So, like, how, like, so you said, like, it was turmoil over the
body.
The funeral proceedings. So, like, how was that? Like, what would you...
Well, the brother, not the little brother who got nothing to do with none of this, this is the one that's respectful. Mm-hmm. He's the middle brother. The mama got 3 sons. My husband was the oldest, and then she got a middle son. This middle son is the one I'm about to talk about, and then she got a baby son. The baby son is the one to be arguing me on social media. But the middle son, he's more like... mature, mm-hmm. per se. Like, me and him, we never, ever, ever argued. We never got into it. It was never nothing. He always still came over my house, checked on his brother, been with his brother, stayed a night with his brother multiple nights, always showed me respect, never got smart with me, none of it. But he's the one who called me and was like, hey, well, the auntie called me first and was like, do I mind talking to his mama? I got on the phone. I was like, okay, if she gonna block me, I'll call her. Oh, man, this is her son to die. You know, I'm putting aside the fact that she even told the little brother he can keep the car. Because I'm like, at the end of the day, this is her son. This is her son. Let me see what this lady got to say.
Right.
So I calls her. She puts the little boy that's supposed to be my husband's on the phone. I hang right up on the little boy. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't even got time for this. I just lost my husband, and you see her playing games. So it went from that to the auntie calling me, like, did you get to talk to her? I was like, no, because she put this little boy on the phone. Being challenged still. Like, her son just died. You wouldn't even think she would be mentally still playing these little games.
Right. You mean the little boy, like a child that's supposed to be in his? Like,
yeah, it was supposed to be his, but the blood test came back and went, but his mama had already had custody of the little boy. Okay. His mama's the one who actually took him to court over wanted the DNA test. Not the baby mama, the supposed to be baby mama, his mama did.
So what was the little boy supposed to say to you?
You tell me.
Oh, man.
That's what we all want to know.
Yeah.
We all want to know that.
Uh-huh.
And every time I talk to any one of them, I always put them on speakerphone because I want people around me to hear, to not think that I'm extra, because my family know when I take it too far, I take it too far.
Right.
And I'm like, when y'all see me start swinging, y'all gonna know why. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna know I'm tired of being disrespected and played with. But if you know that this little boy is the reason why I used to get into it with y'all too, why would you put him on the phone and I'm calling you after I just lost my husband, which is your son? You would think you'd be grieving, not still playing games.
Right.
So the auntie called me back the next day and was like, hey, you know, did y'all get to talk? I said, no, we ain't get to talk. She put this little boy on the phone. She was like, what? I don't know. I said, yes, so I ain't calling her back. She was like, nah, we gonna have to work something now. I guess they get on the phone with the little brother. Little brother calls me and was like, hey, I don't know why my mama did that. She's tripping, but it ain't gonna happen no more. Are you willing to talk to her again? The auntie calls me back. I was like, you willing to talk to her again? I'm like, yeah, I don't mind. I call her again. I'm still being a bigger person when really I should be spazzing out anyway, because if y'all wouldn't have did all this stuff y'all did, his boy would probably still have his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I calls her again. We lays down on the table. I let her talk, let her say everything she wanted to say. And when it was my turn, she kept on trying to cut me off. But I was like, nah, you don't listen.
Right.
I felt like you were jealous. You were toxic to your son. And, you know, you were mad because I made him something that you could never make him. And that the fact that she was like, no, you always spreading family business. It ain't got nothing to do with you. If something hurt him, it got something to do with me because he's my husband now.
Right.
You, like, my husband had been through a lot with his family anyway. My husband's mama is still with the man who broke his jaw in three places that caused him to lose his scholarship in school to where he had to stop playing football. If you look him up, you see his stats, you like, damn, this nigga would have went to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen like that because he missed so much of school from his jaw being broken.
Right.
My husband still had nightmares about that, like, as an adult.
Uh-huh.
And when the mama tried to get smart with me, I reminded her of that, baby. You ain't in a position to be getting smart with me. I'm a good mom.
Right.
I always take stuff too far, but this is what I used to be on. Like, I used to really go all the way too far with them. But
I'm like that, too. Like, it takes a lot for me to blow up, but once I blow up, I'm throwing low blows.
You sitting here telling people, like, you happy. Like, yeah, my son was talking to my daughter's, my friend's daughter, and it's like, yeah, but you're a bad mom, so we can talk about that, too. We both got some little skeletons we can just release. Like, every time she seen us doing good, she would get jealous about it because her husband wasn't treating her the way my husband was treating me. It's what I felt like, but I told her that. So we laid it on the table. I was like, you willing to meet me? She was like, so what we gonna do about the body? I was like, you want me? She was like, yeah, cool. I was like, well,
can't talk to the light.
I was like, we can meet, you know, wherever you want to meet. She said Aspen Creek. I was like, cool. Now she was like, she was gonna come over my sister's house. Well, her son, the mature one, he ended up calling me back and was like, hey, mama don't feel comfortable meeting you at your sister's house. Can she just meet you somewhere else? Cause I'm like, okay, you would think with this lady's mouth and her actions, the way she is, you would think that she had all the smoke. She was always ready, but no, it's not the case. She was just like, she didn't feel comfortable telling me that she didn't feel comfortable meeting me by herself. So she had to bring her son with it. And me being me and who I am, I don't mind meeting you. I'm meeting y'all. Like I said, y'all can bring whoever y'all want to. I'll come by myself. And right. That's what I did. It was them two, the mom and the son, that met me the next day. But the coroner didn't already call me. The first day she was supposed to meet me, she didn't meet me. That's what bothered about the little brother having to call me and set up another meeting place. She never came to my sister's house. But when the coroner called me and said, they got too many bodies coming in for the weekend and we need to do something with this body, I called up the GC Williams and said, hey, y'all go ahead and pick up his body.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't just going to leave him there.
Right.
Then on top of that, the coroner had already told me, explained to me, his skin melted while he was out there because he was out there for too long.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to get him in the freezer and start working on him. We need to go and have a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I moved his body to GC Williams. When we got there, the mom was like, I never dealt with GC Williams. I don't feel comfortable using GC Williams. They some frauds. Like, she went on disrespecting this company. And I'm like, hey, I never had no problem with them. I buried them with my baby daddy.
Right.
I buried them with this person, that person. I did a whole bunch of burials, helped out with them, whatever, helped plan them. You wouldn't even think it would have been all this, but this lady was like, I ain't like it. I was like, well, that's where his body's at. So would you like to meet me? I got an appointment tomorrow. She was like, yeah, I'll meet you. She was like, you have life insurance? And I told her, no, you know what you did with the life insurance. Like, she didn't contact the life insurance, said that I was going to, it's back in October of the year before. She had already contacted our life insurance company and was like, I was going to do something to him. I was going to kill him or something like that, to where it put me under investigation. So the life insurance policy wasn't, I had life insurance on him the day I met him.
Yeah.
He was still in jail. I had them sign the papers while he was in jail. Right. So I already knew I wasn't going to deal with nobody. They wasn't going to have a job and that I couldn't get life insurance on.
Right.
That's just period.
Man, life insurance is the safest bet.
Yes, it is.
Whether you, some people die young, old, you're going to die. That's the safest. Ain't nothing wrong with having life insurance. I think everybody, especially if you give it to them as babies, you know, it'd be a little cheaper, but $20,000, $50,000. Nah, this is enough to, you know, you, why you burden the loss of somebody? The financial problems ain't the problem. So everybody should get life insurance. So she called the life insurance and said,
she was trying. So that's the reason. That was her excuse for why she wanted to get life insurance on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I only knew it from my husband. Like, my husband used to tell me, like, yeah, I went ahead. Because he used to be on and off drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, when it was good, it was good. When it was bad, it was bad. And that's because when you off drugs, bro, you ain't ready to just handle me any kind of way. It ain't happening. Right. Like, ain't going to be no spending up all my money. You can do what you want to with yours, but make sure you got your bill money.
Right.
But, like, you could never, anybody knows anybody that's has an addiction. It's hard to keep them focused. It's hard to keep them on track all the time. And when he would get around his family and stuff, he would always be off track. So, yeah, my husband ended up telling me about him calling, about him telling her about it. Because I'm like, why is life insurance calling me saying we can't get life insurance on you? I can't have life insurance on you. You my husband. I ain't never heard of a wife not being able to have life insurance on a husband. They said she got life insurance on him instead. I don't know how true that is, but that's another investigation that's about to go into effect. And if it is, why'd you make me get the life insurance off of him and then you put the plate on and then right. He don't got life insurance, but you don't help bury him either? They didn't give me a dime.
Oh, wow.
They didn't give me a dime.
Did nothing, no services, no nothing?
The mama had her own service.
Really?
With nobody. She took me to court. Like I said, she was playing all cool that day.
Uh-huh.
When we got inside the funeral home, we ended up getting into it.
Uh-huh.
She wanted me to put the little boy in the obituary anyway.
Right.
And I told her, I said, you want me to put him in the obituary? Show me a picture or a video with this little boy and my husband. I put him in the obituary.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm about to call the detective. You had something to do with it. I said, no, just let's keep it like that. Just show me a picture with them to let me see that my husband really was claiming him behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
Show me. I ain't got to show you it. Well, why not? I'm the wife and I'm in charge. So just show me. I put him in there. If he really was claiming him, that's what it is.
Right.
She still ain't seen no pictures.
Mm, so did she show up to yours? So you had two different services. So did she show up to yours?
Mm-hmm. When we went to court, the judge was like, the body stand with you because you're the wife. Because the judge seen the papers and all that stuff and heard both our cases. The judge let her talk first, and she was the one taking me to court. And then I got to speak, but I was real calm. She just kept on tossing this big old Bible. I mean, the Bible was like this. Had the Bible in her hand, shaking and saying, he's going to find another wife. God, please go ahead and show her that he's going to have another wife. Like, doing all type of crazy stuff.
I don't know the lady from McKenna. Is she mentally all the way there?
You would think she is, but she ain't.
Hmm.
She owns businesses around the city.
Right. I don't know. I don't want to burn her bridges. She might be a sponsor or something one day. So
you can get her as a sponsor right now.
So how tough is it? Like, life after, you had the funerals and everything. So how is it adjusting without your life, without your husband? How is it like?
I feel like mentally, some days are better than others. Mm-hmm. But most days I'm happy. Most days I'm happy. Like, I've been through therapy. Can I pick up the phone and call my therapist whenever? We'll do FaceTime if need be. My kids are in therapy. I'm thriving. Like, I don't have to go through. I think God not only took him away for bad reasons, but also, sad to say, but like other reasons too that became beneficial to me. I no longer have to deal with the family trying to drag my name through the mud. My kids are teenagers. They on the internet. Anything y'all say about me, my kids are seeing this.
Right. A lot of people don't realize that. Like, as kids are getting older, they ain't 3 and 4 or 5.
No.
These are teenagers. And
yeah.
Once you put that shit on the internet, it's there forever.
It's there.
Forever.
It's
you there. Can delete the post, but somebody didn't screenshot
it. Yeah. Somebody didn't screen recorded it. Yeah. And not only that, like, my kids don't see me in a light of a disrespectful person, a person that's always arguing with people, a person that's always getting sleepy. My kids are used to going to feed the homeless for me off our own dime. My kids are used to seeing me in the crowd cheering. I'm the loudest mama. Anybody that knows my kids for basketball, football, dance, cheer, track, I'm just the loudest mom. That's what I'm known for. They are like, oh, Kelly, sir, we already know what time it is. We don't even, other parents feel like they ain't got to yell because I'm yelling for my kid and they kids.
Right.
It's always that. So my kids don't know me as this person that's typing paragraphs and going back and forth and all that. That's what took me so long to do the video. But my daughter, my oldest daughter, told me, Mom, why don't you go ahead and tell the story? Because I was like, what you think about this? She was like, tell the story. So on the one where I'm crying, she's right next to me, like rubbing my back, telling me, Mom, it's okay, keep going. Mm-hmm. You're doing good. Keep going, Mama. Just keep going. And so it gave me, added fuel to my own fire. Like, I really do need to tell this story. Because even my kids being in school, they in high school, so they being approached. People are like, I can't believe. People are saying stuff like crazy stuff to them, too. Like, your mama really set up your stepdaddy.
That's wild, man.
And people don't, it's a lot of people that be like, oh, she lying. Ain't nobody saying that to her kids, but kids are grown.
Right.
Kids out here in the streets, their age is getting killed and slaughtered and stuff, so they know what's going on.
Right.
A lot of people be like, oh, I ain't know Kelly Bundy was your mama. Oh, man, I remember your daddy died and da-da-da. Your mama used to be in the streets, and which I did. I got out the streets for my kids.
Right.
I done been shot a couple of times, and I ain't never had to go through what the hell I been through with his family.
So you
never.
Say this is like the toughest thing you done been through? Like, you said you didn't took bullets, but this is the toughest thing you didn't. That's wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, backtrack a little bit. You said you lost your first baby daddy. Like, how's it been dealing with that, you know?
You know what? After 13 years, I just started grieving over him last year.
Really?
When you would think I would have been grieving over my husband, I don't know why he was on my mind so tough, and I don't know if it was God telling me, like, we're covered. Because, like, the stuff that me and my kids went through last year, especially after he got killed, after my husband got killed, it would have broke anybody into little bitty pieces.
Right.
But we still stood on it all, me and my three kids. Like, we still stood, like, nah. And our support system's dope.
That's dope, man. Support systems, man. The black family structure. We got to bring that back. But I know how tough it is. Like I said, my mom losing a son, she still ain't seen me cry with my brother. Like, a lot of people ask me, like, how do I keep going? Because my daddy ain't never been in my life or nothing. But he gave me a gym, and my Uncle Robert, too. He said, man, you got to be strong. Like, they looking for you for strength. So you can't. So to this day, my mama ain't never seen me cry with my brother. Like, and she asked me, like, why don't you never cry? Why don't you never do this? But I'd shed many tears, but they'll never see it. You know what I mean? But I did lose my dog, but she seen me cry when I lost my dog. I talk that shit, like, I ain't gonna cry. I ain't been crying no dog.
Yeah.
I'm always laughing at the white folks. Man, they crying over dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we took it to the vet, and she, you know, that she pulled up, and the doctor basically said, it's time to, you know, she'll live another, you know, whatever, but she's suffering. She could barely walk, got cancer and shit. So I was the first one to break down and cry.
Dogs are like people's best friend, though.
Yeah, but I had her since she was a puppy. She would have been 11 in January, December, around that time. So well, before we get out of here, I got a couple questions to ask you.
Okay.
Before that, log on to thebigandlazy.com. All our links and subscription, we own everything. Apple, YouTube, we drop weekly. Spotify, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us, bigandlazy.com. Big and Lazy. We got an email subscription service. We got some merch coming soon. Shout out to 4C Pac-Man for the sweatshirt. What's next for Kelly Bundy? What's next? So what's you got going on?
Oh, okay. So I have a book coming out in December. Very detailed about everything that went on from the start of my merch to the time he passed away. And then the number two will be like what's going on like right now. But it comes out in December. So y'all make sure y'all grab the book.
You got a name for it yet?
Yeah, I do. But I don't want to say it because nobody else to try to, you know, pull up.
Mm-hmm.
I try to pull up on what I also have a foundation. It's a nonprofit organization. It's called Cam's Kindness Foundation. You can look it up on www.camskindnessfoundation.org. What else I got coming up? Oh, my God, because I always forget, and then people be like, well, you forgot about this. Oh, I host, I bartend. Y'all contact me if y'all need cleaning services. If y'all need tattoos, contact me, because my girlfriend will do it.
I know
a lot of people talk about that, too, about me moving on. So, yeah, tattoos, hit us up. You need something worked on your house, hit us up.
Yeah, people think when you lose a spouse or a lover, you're supposed to life goes on.
Like, it's to death do us part. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows these dudes, especially a dude that is known for cheating, they'll bring somebody to your funeral.
Don't say that.
They will. Uh-huh. They will. We done seen it.
Yeah.
People act like they want. People don't want to be realistic about it, but people, they will. I ain't saying my husband would have did it, but I'm saying, I know my husband wouldn't have did it, yeah. But I'm saying, like, people, dudes do. Like, yeah. If you want to be realistic, people like to be fake and beat around the bush. Dudes will bring somebody to your funeral. They'll have somebody in your house. They'll have somebody driving your car.
Yeah, I didn't see it at the time or two. But this is the Big and Lazy podcast. Give us something good to eat and give us something good to watch before we get out of here.
Big and Lazy.
Peace.
No, you got to give us something good to eat.
Oh, something good to eat, Rasta Pasta, and something good to watch, Prison Break on Netflix. Oh, cook it.
Yeah. I thought that was like, because I know West Coast, the vegan guy, I know he got his Rasta Pasta.
Oh, he do?
Yeah.
And I'm for Jody.
Yeah, Jody, yep.
Oh, I ain't even.
I thought that was his dish. I didn't hear about it till he started cooking.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, so I thought, but then I since learned it. I guess that's like macaroni and cheese.
I got it off TikTok, but I put my own little twist to it, and mine's is fire.
Oh, that's what's up. So you say Prison Break?
Yeah, Prison Break's on Netflix.
That's
right
dope.
Now.
Mm-hmm. But it's long as fuck.
It's worth it. Binge watch.
Yeah, I got to get into it. I watched the first 12, and I seen it was like, damn, 30 episodes in the first season, and each one's an hour. I'm like, I guess you're getting your money's worth, getting your time. So do you got a message for the youth? Do you got a message for like somebody that has lost a loved one, or lost a lover? Do you got a message?
Yes, being in therapy is not word. Asking for help is not word. Reaching out for help is not word. Talking about your grief when you're ready is not word. I'm sorry. Okay, so being in therapy, talking about your grief, reaching out for support, don't stop declining support as well. When people ask you, do you need help and you really need help with something, don't say no and then be mad that people stop asking you. Continue to ask for help, continue to reach out, and definitely get therapy because it is so worth it.
Yeah, therapy, like, especially, like, a lot of, in certain communities, but, like, it's like a stigma against therapy. Like, that's weak. No, buddy.
People think it means you mentally ill or you're sick in the head. But, no, you're sick in the head when you don't try to heal that part of you that needs to be grown or that part that needs to come out. Like, my therapist helped me and my children out so much, but then we all went separate ways and got our own therapist, so.
Was it, like, grief counselor?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother and a couple of my family members did that. But I tell a lot of my peers, like, what, I don't know, I guess I have a different mindset because I was in counseling. I was a little badass in school. I was in counseling from about 7 to 8 to clean until I was about, like, about 15, 16, you know, once mm-hmm. a month. You know what I mean? I actually went to my counselor's funeral when she passed. It was an older white woman. I was actually.
For real?
Only black guy. Yeah, because I love, you know. She helped me a lot, like.
Yeah, and don't be stuck on getting just a black therapist, because I was there before and it just didn't work out. Now, my kids, they have black therapists. The two younger ones have the same one, a black man. And then the older one has a black woman, and she's bomb. Shout out to LaTosha Perry. Mm-hmm. And then my therapist that I did have was black, my first one and my second one. I done went through three. I done went through two, and then I'm on my third one. And this is a white lady, and bomb, okay? Bomb. You just gotta find out who works for you, and don't be afraid to tell people, like, you ain't working out for me. It ain't right. We ain't really connecting.
Right. And that's a part of it. Like, you gotta have, just because they got the job title and got the mm-hmm. Degree or whatnot, you still gotta get that. But yeah, it's somebody you can talk and confide to that is against the law for them to go tell somebody else. You know, they'll lose their job. And
you ain't gotta worry about somebody being, like, just on your side. Because my therapist used to tell me, like, oh, when you say that was wrong. Maybe it was a little, like, in a certain situation. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you should never did it. I would have did this instead. But it is what it is. I want somebody that's going to keep it real with me and help me along the way, because I want to grow through it all.
And I got one question before we leave out of here. So what does justice look like for your husband? Like, what is justice? What would you say would be a do just?
A do just would be everyone involved taking accountability, in which, I mean, a lot of people don't want to, but that would be justice for him. And also, you know, the dad getting some time. I do understand that the brother didn't have a record, so he may not get as much as the dad. But, I mean, getting out scot-free just don't sound right to me.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I totally understand with you there. So on that note, we're going to end it like, yeah, it was good talking to you. Good conversation.
Likewise.
When you bring the, get the, release the book, you got to come back on and promote it, man.
I sure will.
Yeah, tap in with us, man. Big and Lazy, man. Big and Lazy Couch. It was good. And just like that, we out.
Big and Lazy.
It was a good conversation right there.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls Podcast, as well as Big and Lazy Podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support. And keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.